You good over there?
I'm good. How you doing, John?
Good. I messaged you about trying a different format today.
Yes. And I'm very open to this.
Thank you. I appreciate that flexibility. However, I've had a really crazy Friday. And so I didn't do the work that I was hoping to do to like prepare a proper retro board.
Okay.
So my question for you is, do you do retros where you work, and do you have a quick way to get a retro board set up?
A retro board. We do have this thing called Team Retro. I've literally never used it. So
so you don't do retros at work?
No, we don't do them very often. How about that? We don't do them like we don't do a retro at the end of each sprint or at the end of each. We have sprint planning and sometimes things come up. But I'm trying to think. We do them for projects and some incidents, like if there's like a prod incident.
So what were you going to show me or tell me about?
What you had mentioned, you said, what if we did, how was your week? And we say, use the retro format. So in my mind, here's where I went.
Okay.
A somewhat non-formal retro is often looking back at a project saying, what went well, what could have gone better, and what can be changed so that could have gone better has become what went well's in the future.
Like action items.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Taking away things that can make improvements if there are any. The reason this is interesting to me is because over the past, say, I think 3 years, my wife and I actually do monthly business meetings.
Whoa. Tell me more.
Yes. We do monthly business meetings. And as a part of that, we do a retro. We do a retro on what's gone well and what could be going better with our relationship with the kids. What is, you know, going well and what could be going better in our own relationship between the two of us, and just in general how we are, our own situation, I'm just on my own or with the rest of my life. We usually, the way we kick off our business meeting is I take notes. I read the minutes from last time.
Yep.
We go over like all the stuff we want to talk about. That's like future planning and what kind of house projects do we want to do? Hey, Thanksgiving's coming up. What are our plans? Mm-hmm. What kind of trips do we want to take this next month? What, so-and-so has a birthday coming up. What do we want to do about that? All these kinds of businessy things. And we both come away with lots of to-do items. But the thing that's been nice in our relationship is it's also become a place where we know we've got an outlet for like our pet peeves. So if there's like, oh, something really bothers me. And then if I actually happen to remember all the way until the business meeting, then it actually was something that was worth bringing up. Otherwise, I'm just being,
it could mean that that was like a petty concern or something.
Exactly. Or like I was just in an annoyed mood.
Sure.
Whatever. Anyway, yeah, the retro format has been a nice, we don't adhere to it strictly, but it's just like a jumping off point for talking about how we're doing in our lives and how we feel like it's going with as parents, as partners and as people. So,
yeah,
parents, partners, and people—the
three P's.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, so I love that you guys do that. That's super cool. I'm jealous. Maybe I'll mention that to Jess. But so for today, so like when you do that, do you just like take a moment to write down some notes, or just like? Okay, let me get at what I'm really asking.
Yes.
In my retros at work, we have 5 minutes where we don't talk and we put notes on a board.
Okay.
And that is the time when we are adding to those columns you mentioned. And mm-hmm. then the retro really begins once the facilitator begins going through those cards.
Once the facilitator says, we're not going to write anything else anymore. That's too many items.
Hey, I see you writing more, John. Can you stop, please?
I bought the smallest whiteboard I could on purpose. I don't want you to write smaller.
Look, I've got a half hour on the calendar for this thing.
I don't want to push back lunch, people.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to map what I think of as the retro, where yep. like the seeding happens, to mm-hmm. what you're describing, which sounds a little more like, you know, it's less formal, which totally. Is fine. I'm just totally. Saying, how do you do that part?
We just take turns. Honestly, it's a conversation. I started with, hey, what if we use this like jumping off point?
Gotcha. Right?
And we just sit on the couch and talk, basically. But
you're not using post-it notes with columns.
No, no, yeah. no. That's the computer part. The computer part is the business yeah. item where we're like yeah. throwing out all the stuff we need to do for the month. Yeah, but the retro format is actually our like less formal. We sit on the couch and talk, and it's our like yeah. it's our chance to air grievances, and also, you know, you need a place to be able to complain about your kids, for one. That's an important thing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I concur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So what you're doing is like what is definitely useful in a business setting.
Yeah.
And something I wish I probably had more experience doing myself, but.
Okay. So I'm interested in experimenting with that more formal process. Maybe next time. Cause I want to have like a tool with like the lane set up and, some more of that infrastructure in place.
Okay.
But we could just probably kind of like wing it and do what you're more describing of just taking turns mm-hmm. With those two columns.
So yeah, in your mind, you were thinking what went well and what didn't go well kind of for over the past week in our own
personal lives.
Yeah.
As a way to generate ideas to just talk about.
Yeah. 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 Makes sense.
Also, in scope would be talking about what's gone well, what could be improved about this podcast.
Oh, it got meta.
So then we can use the podcast to make the podcast better.
This is called dog fooding, and I appreciate yeah. it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Man. Okay. All right.
I also have a twinkle in my eye about we could potentially add guests to this kind of format.
Yes.
And they could come and talk about their week as well.
Are you imagining that participants would come somewhat prepared, having done whatever the thing is on the tool or whatever we use?
Yeah. So, for example, I keep notes in a text file on my computer mm-hmm. for each sprint that are just items I want to bring up at retro. Mm-hmm. And then when retro begins, I transfer them from that text file on my computer into the board, and then when the facilitation begins, we start going through them. But as I'm seeing people writing, or as I'm just kind of sitting there thinking for the 5 minutes that we don't talk and generate ideas, I'll think of other things too. So it's okay. a combination of like prepared items and kind of on the spot items.
Okay, that's cool. John.txt.
I mean, Josh, there's so much I can say about my my habits and my idiosyncrasies around.
You're about to say, if only that was the naming scheme that I used for my notes. There are mm-hmm. folder hierarchies.
There are rig tasks that are used to create new. Yeah, there's. I have a lot to tell you about, Josh.
Right. I wish I knew what happened this last week, but my notes build broke. It's failing in CI.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like that for me.
yep.
Okay, so enough foreplay?
Whoop.
So I'm going to say, Josh, how did your week go? Mm. What were some things that either could be improved or went well?
This is a good question. This week was Halloween, or at least this is Halloween week, and my city does trick or treat on a weekday.
Oh,
come hell or high water, we never do it on Halloween night for some reason. It's a weeknight that is not Halloween night. I don't know why. That is how the city does it. So it was last night for us, and it was terrible weather.
Oh, okay.
It's also COVID, as you might have remembered that that's a thing. So we were masked up. We were just walking down the road, and it was like 40 degrees and rainy. Oh. It was gross.
I'm sorry. What time of day was this?
6 p.m. So still kind of light out. Our dog was dressed up as a hot dog, though, so that's kind of a bright spot.
I'm going to put that in the what went well.
Yeah, hot dog. The other thing that went well is, like, we don't let our kids eat candy while they're trick-or-treating. This is just, you know, a thing that a lot of parents probably do, but we just want to give it a glance. You know, make sure there's not, like, poop in a wrapper or something weird. Our parents were very much like, got to look for razor blades in the apple, you know, when I was growing up. But we just want to make sure that, like, candy isn't already opened, or that, you know, that some gross kid didn't, like, pick something up, lick it, and then put it back.
Right.
So the other thing that went well is that I get a bunch of my kids' candy. That's kind of the go on.
I call this tithing. That Jack owes me candy for being allowed to live in my house.
Right. This is tribute.
Yeah.
Oh, tithing. That's amazing. 10%.
Yeah.
10%
goes candy. right up the stack.
The problem is, like, this is a tax. So I'm looking at your candy this year, and you've jumped a tax bracket. I think I need 35% this year.
Things have changed.
Yep.
Okay, so how is your collection of their candy administrated? Like, you just kind of stick a hand in each kid's bag, or what are we looking at here?
They all have buckets, and just when I feel like it, I just kind of, like, reach my hand in their bucket, you know? So that's what's going on. Like, that's my current life, is just, like, sneaking my own kids' candy. They can't remember. My son can somehow. He remembers, like, every piece of candy he has. But here's the good thing about this year. He's the oldest. He's 9. He has some orthodontic work now. So there's a much smaller, like, allowed lane of candy. So we already swapped out a lot of his candy for, like, things that he can have. And all that contraband went right into my belly.
That's nice. You're going to like that.
Yeah. There's a lot of Three Musketeers swimming around in here right now.
Are we talking about things that are really sticky, because they would kind of mess with his... Yeah.
Yeah, any kind of taffy, any kind of stuff with caramel, any of that kind of stuff.
I'm picturing, like, a mostly transparent wrapper with, like, a brown piece of caramel in it, and that's the kind of candy that I'm picturing.
The bullseyes?
Yeah, that was, like, not allowed to go in his bag.
Uh-huh.
But, like, those are the worst. I just throw those away.
Yeah, those are you're either, like, old fashioned or you don't like children. You know, those are the two options if you're giving those out.
Right. Yeah. You're either 100 or hostile towards kids and Halloween in general.
Come here, boys. Have some candy.
Yeah. What's that voice?
Generic old person, number one.
Gotcha. Dot wave.
Dot wave. The generic old person number two is like...
Oh, there's a lot more wheeze.
Oh, yeah. There's some respiratory issues. So,
it's probably
anyway.
COVID related. I don't see how that's funny.
Breezing right over. So, yeah, that's basically my... Yeah, I'd say Halloween and trick-or-treating is both what went well and what could have been better.
Gotcha. Kind of straddles that line.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
A mixed bag. No candy, pun intended.
Little intention there, I think.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Great. That's a great first effort.
Tithing.
I have some follow-up.
What's your follow-up, John?
Okay, you were asking me about Jack's jokes.
Yes.
Because I was talking about how he likes to tell jokes that are just like nonsense that he makes up on the spot.
Yeah.
So I told him that I talked to you about that. And then I said, and he said, so then he wanted to start telling me some jokes. So can I tell you one of them? This is the first one he told me.
Please tell me one of them.
Why did the cookie go to the bank? To get eaten. So I like grabbed a notebook. I wrote that down. And then the next one was, why did the pumpkin go to the pumpkin patch? Mm. To get pumped restored. That means to get back to the pumpkin patch. And then he looked at me and said, write that down.
That is nonsensical and wonderful.
Yeah. Oh. Once he saw that I was like listening to what he said, kind of chuckling and writing things down. Okay, he's in. He would have gone on for an hour like that. I had to stop him.
Man, Jack gets his own notebook now.
I have one more. This is the last one. Why did the skeleton go to the skeleton store? To get a skele-friend.
Man, that's high quality. That's like, that's good. Also, the setup alone is good. Why did the skeleton go to the skeleton store? Like, I think you can make an entire movie out of that. Like, that's a solid start.
Tim Burton's available. He's not doing much.
No, but we did just watch that as a family. The Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, this is like the perfect time for that.
Yeah, in between Halloween.
I tried to show Jack that movie, and he said it was too scary for him.
Well, you know, he knows. Know thyself. That's
know your limits, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's. That's a great that's a great skill to have, and I'm glad he's sticking to it.
We all are. Do you have anything else that could be improved?
Oh man, so many things. Oh, I have one. So our like fridge water dispenser has a filter. Yes. And it's external. So it actually goes in it's actually above my head. It's in the basement is where the thing attaches. So I mounted it here, you know, 3 years ago whenever we got our fridge. It's been leaking out of the filter. Because I was silly and used a generic filter and it like didn't fit quite right. And then I think it broke something. So I finally ordered like the part. I found like the parts manual. I ordered the part. I got everything hooked up. Everything came in yesterday. I got it all hooked up. And then I turned the water back on. I'm like, job well done.
Yeah.
You were smacked happy. My hands. I was happy. And then I realized, and then I felt a single drop on my head. And I went upstairs. Yep. I didn't even connect it to the fridge. I just had this just bare like hose just shooting water into my kitchen. That was pretty good. That could have gone better is what I'm saying. I'm neither handy nor unhandy. I'm like whatever you are when you're medium.
You're mediocre.
Right. Like a jack of some trades.
I'm going to write an action item here for hire plumber.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I always think that plumber should be spelled without a B. But then it's like plumper.
Right. It should be you turn that B upside down. It should be plumper.
Yeah. That's oof. Sorry about that.
So that's my week.
Oof. So it's been pretty hectic.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? When you lay it all out there.
I have a what could go better about my week.
And out of your week, okay.
That is that I was not able to watch The Mandalorian over lunch today.
Okay, can you tell me, can you let's unpack this a little bit.
Okay.
So we still have two more episodes left of season one, my son and I. We started late. But I realized that the new – is it the whole season or just episode by episode has dropped?
I think they're still dropping episode by episode.
Okay.
So I believe that there is a new – like a single new episode for me to enjoy sitting on my TV somewhere. Well, sitting in the cloud somewhere because I got to stream it down, you know?
Come right. On. All right. So you're obviously – you've watched all season one. You were looking forward to season two. Here's my question. How often do you watch something over lunch? Is this a common lunchtime activity?
It's not.
Okay.
It's extremely rare. However, on Fridays, my son goes to Grandma and Grandpa's house for a sleepover.
Right.
And usually, Jess is able to get him over there way before lunchtime.
Right. Grandparents are like, let's get some daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking, you know, they leave at 9:30 a.m. So by 11:30, when I want to go make a sandwich and maybe watch a show, mm-hmm. he should be out of here. He should not be in my house.
Got it.
That didn't happen today.
Nope.
There's some scheduling snafus. And
right.
Yeah. So I think that could have gone better.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think that could have gone better.
Okay. I have another one. Well, do you want to go?
Well, I'm curious what your action – is there an action item from that?
There could be. There could be an action item around doing a better job of getting Jack ready to go to Grandpa's house.
You got to put him to bed in his shoes, man. Just like have his shoes on. And then he like – when he wakes up at 4 or whenever children his age wake up, just be like, you're ready, man.
Push that thing right in his mouth. Sorry. Push that bar or – Nutri-Grain bar.
That's right.
Or whatever in his
That's
mouth.
Right.
Get him out of here. Oh, I have another book that could go better. I almost sent Jack to school yesterday without a mask on.
Oh, okay.
And like, I would have felt like a real, it's kind of like, it's like not a good dad move.
Yeah. Well, it's like that's the new taboo. It's it's the 2020, like, I don't care about anyone almost is how it seems.
I'm thinking about like, parents sending their kids to school without a lunch.
Or without pants.
Or like, dirty. it's similar vein, I think. So anyway, the action item there, I think, is I got to get better about laying that stuff out night before.
Yeah. Yeah. Masks. We don't have we got a dedicated spot for shoes because that's,
sure.
You know, we've always had shoes. We have not yet had a place where masks live when they're not being washed. You know, they kind of live in four different places. You know, it's like, there's a place kind of near the door where we kind of use a hook that isn't really a hook and put stuff on it. Right. And then there's like the basket that holds the socks with no matches in the laundry room that has also become the clean mask spot. And then there's just all the clean clothes that are still in the dryer that we don't want to deal with.
Right. So when we moved to this new house, we had enough room in the mud room, you know, the room you enter when you come out of the garage into the house, where we could put a little like, I want to say dish, but it's not a dish. It's just a container where dirty masks go. And then we have another container in a drawer where the clean ones go. So you open the drawer, pull one out. That's your clean guy. You use it. You come back in the house. You throw it in the dirty bin. And then
nice.
That goes upstairs when we're going to do laundry.
Right. I like this system.
It's a good system. This reminded me of something. Do you remember when coronavirus began, this pandemic was upon us and no one knew what to do.
72 years ago, something like that.
We realized masks were a good idea. We started doing that.
Yeah.
But there are all these things about like when you wear the mask, don't touch it when you're out.
Right.
And when you get home, like take it off in such a way that you don't touch any of the outside, because
right.
there's like virus on the outside.
Right.
And maybe virus on the inside if you had
right.
it. So
totally.
It's like all this stuff. No one does that shit anymore.
No.
You're outside in public, you're like pulling it down to take your cup of coffee
right.
and snaps back into place.
Right.
And then when you get home, you kinda like ball it up.
Right. You lick
car,
the outside just to get you right.
I mean, so, like, should we feel bad about that? That
no.
pretty quick dive into who gives a shit?
No, because the whole rationale of masks has changed, right? Because it used to be that masks were, like, about protecting you. But it turns out it's mostly that when you wear a mask, you protect others from you. And if you've
gotcha.
Already got it, like, who cares? Yes, there are some like aerosol, whatever stuff that can be blocked by a mask that you're wearing from getting in, but the much bigger benefit comes from the fact that you're not spreading.
Gotcha.
I mean, it decreases it super effectively if somebody is infected and they wear a mask. So I think that's part of it. It's like for the same reason that no one's like, oh, I got to wash my groceries anymore, you know?
Right. There was that thing too of like, you'd like go to the mailbox, you take your mail, it would come inside, and then you'd have like masking tape that you've used to like segment how old the mail is. And after a certain number of days, the pile from 7 days ago could now be opened.
I didn't do this. I don't remember this.
Okay.
We just like watched the mailman and then like waited an hour. You know, that was about
gotcha.
It. Yeah, which was, you know, at the time, even then, probably a little risque, but risky? Risque? Which one am I?
I think it's just risky.
Okay.
I think risque is French.
Right. Right. When you're dancing. When you're in France and you're dancing without a mask, it's risque.
Gotcha. Okay, let me just write that down.
That's an action item, I think.
Got that.
What else you got, John?
We have been on a quest to get a new table for the dining room.
Ooh,
I say dining
okay.
room, but I really just mean is like where we eat between our kitchen and where we watch TV.
Yeah.
We have like an open floor plan. It's all one
yeah,
big space.
Okay.
Anyway. Nothing formal is kind of what I guess I'm getting at. Anyway, so I bought a table from IKEA when I was first out on my own in like 05, 04, something like that. And we've been using it ever since.
Yep.
And it's super beat up and old and like whatever. New house, new us. Like, let's get a new table.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we've like had the worst time. We went to this regional like furniture retailer here called Becker Furniture. And, like, we picked out a table, got it home, didn't like it. It was very textured on top.
Ah.
And it's textured in that way that's, like, fakey, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It
feels
like,
synthetic.
Molded plasticky kind of a situation. But not, well, it wasn't actually plastic. But anyway, so we sent it back and took advantage of their, like, return policy, basically, to have them come pick it up. Jess goes to the store, finds a table she likes.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be our replacement. At this point, I'm feeling very much like not as enthusiastic about this whole operation. I'm like,
right.
I want a table in our house that we can use as a table. That's
yep.
what I would like.
Right.
They deliver it. It's got laminate on the one side kind of coming up.
So it's a defective unit
Yeah. So again, call Becker. Hey, can we return this one and just get the same one? We'd like the table. We just want one that's not defective. Doesn't have that thing. Next one comes. It's dirty. It's scratched up.
Oh.
It looks like it's from their used bin.
They're so, like, we took the same one. We glued the side and then we pooped on it and sent it back to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. So that one goes back to Becker.
Yeah.
We'll take a new one.
Uh-huh.
That one comes. And it's got that same damn laminate coming
what
up.
What is happening, man?
So finally we're like, you know, take it. We want a refund. We're going to
three strikes and you're out.
three strikes you're out, which is really like four strikes you're out. But the first one was really more on us than it was
right
on them.
You didn't like the style, but they sent you three that you were like, this is not, this is the table we liked in theory, and you've made us hate your entire brand.
Okay, so now we're in the situation where, and keep in mind, I've been taking the old table up and downstairs as these tables have arrived, because we couldn't like not have a table upstairs.
Right, right.
Okay, so the old table goes back upstairs. We get the refund in our bank account. All right, let's find this table we're going to purchase. Let's shop on Overstock.
This is how all good stories start.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, it gets here, and it's, like, tiny.
It's like a child's table, you mean?
No, but I like that mental image better. No, it's, like, the two... First of all, it comes in, like, a ton of boxes.
Okay.
And so there are two pieces of the table... And you got to build it. So you screw the like, what's it called? Collapsing? No, what's that
telescoping?
Word? Telescoping. Thank you, Joshua. Okay, so you like do that. You like have the thing. You put the legs on. Boom. And without any kind of leaf in the middle, it's basically like a four seater.
Okay.
But we were trying to get like a table that without the leaves is like a six seater with a leaf. Now you're talking about 8 to 10 people.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is like one unit too small for what we were thinking we were going to get.
Uh-huh.
You put the leaf in. Now you got space for six people.
Mm-hmm.
Two on each side, two at the head, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But that's it. There's no more leaves.
Okay. And it doesn't extend more. It's not like you could even like say, I want to buy another leaf.
Correct.
No, it's not going to support that. Okay.
Correct.
It's a four or six seater table.
Right.
Full stop.
That's it. So we're keeping it. Like I'm done.
Right.
And it's a nice table. It's fine.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, but we're kind of kicking ourselves about, like, man, we should have just dealt with that goddamn laminate coming up on the one side on that first table that we liked.
Because it was the right size. It was the size
that It was the right size.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have just put some goddamn Elmer's under that fucker and been done with it.
Give me that school glue. Give me that mucilage. Yeah. Man. Can I humble brag for a minute?
Yes, please.
I
think I know what this is.
I built our dining room table.
That's pretty good, Josh.
Yeah.
Now, is it collapsible or is it one?
Oh, no. And I think it weighs about 500 pounds. It's reclaimed barn wood on top. And we didn't plane it down or anything. So it's like full 2 inches of reclaimed barn wood on top. And it is, whew. It doesn't move easily. We got a carpet like a year after I made it. We got a carpet for the dining room, and it took me like a full day to tilt it in just the way
that
get everything underneath there. Yeah, like it it's so custom, like it's kind of custom to the room, like the size is just right for the room, but it's I'm glad this old house can handle supporting it.
Did you assemble it in that room?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did the whole thing. Now, I made the base in the basement, kind of where my quote-unquote workshop is, which is more of just like a corner where there's a workbench. But the top, I glued it together in the room.
Yeah.
I finished everything up in the room because it's just so heavy. I did not want to try to even go upstairs with that. That would have been asking for an injury. So,
yeah.
But yeah, until then.
So you can never leave now.
Right. We can't move. I think if I, I think I've said this to you before. I will always hire movers. I will pay you ungodly amounts of money so that I don't have to pick things up. So one of the things that would be on that docket is, okay, I've disassembled this. That's I'm done touching it, you know. Yes. I will give you a sizable tip. But yeah, the top comes off, so you could potentially move it. We could have it somewhere else, but I don't want to be the one to move it.
No. That's cool. Yeah, that's cool that you made your own table. That's neat.
I'll send you a picture sometime.
I actually have more complaining to do about this table situation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were at a closing point. I want to reopen this book though, because I'm all about table complaints.
No, I think that it was totally reasonable for you to think that I was finished. However, there's more, and it's mostly around a topic I don't know if you feel strongly about, but I feel extremely strongly about.
Okay.
And that is managing my garbage and recycling.
Okay.
Specifically, being overrun by recycling.
Mm.
I don't know if this is... So we get garbage pickup once a week.
Uh-huh.
And when we live in the city, recycling was twice a week. Out here, it's once a week. So I get my recycling and my garbage pickup once a week.
Yep.
And, you know, it's my job to get those garbage cans out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I think that's pretty common. And so... Jess likes to laugh at me because when we have too much cardboard to fit in there, this is something that like stresses me out.
Mm, like there's not enough room.
There's not enough.
In the bins.
When there's not enough room in the garbage can or the recycling bin, it like wrecks my whole week. I want all that shit out of my house every week. Okay. So I talked about the various. So what?
I have a question about the way that this works.
Okay.
So you've got, you know, like whatever your municipality picks up garbage and recycling for you. Do the bins stay in your garage and then you take them out weekly? Okay.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. So imagine two like kind of tough plastic bins. One's one color for the recycling, the other color for garbage.
Right.
And so you fill them up, and then a truck comes by and picks them up using some kind of like lever or whatever, like arm is kind of what I'm trying to say. Anyway,
yep.
Okay. So we move in, and we have a shitload of cardboard.
Oh man, move-in day,
right? And
yep.
So you're just like trying to figure out how to like break it down and get it out of the house. Then I got these goddamn tables coming, and they come in boxes, and then I got to deal with the boxes, and there's styrofoam inside of them. Now I got a pile of styrofoam.
Right.
There's no way I could fit it in my garbage can.
It's tough, man.
So you're
queuing it up. You've got like a do you have like a backlog in your garage of like, okay, next week this is your system?
This is my system.
Okay.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Uh-huh.
But I called my garbage company and ask them about recycling. Is there a way for me to like lean some recycling next to the bin and you'll take the whole thing? You'll load the bin in your truck and then you'll take some kind of like bound up stack of cardboard away.
Yeah. Yeah.
With it. They do that. So if I use like the rule is I lay a pile of cardboard next to my plastic bin, and as long as it's not like a total mess, they'll put that pile on the same arm that takes up the bin, and the arm will just put it over into the truck.
Sure. It's whoever's attaching it to the arm that they will just be like, oh, there is something. Boop.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So they're going to hop out of their truck. They're going to align the garbage, the recycling bin just so. Arm comes in, grabs it, sucks it up. Arm comes back down. He stacks my stack of recycling on that arm, and up it goes.
Sure.
Okay, so my new strategy is every week I fill up that recycling bin with whatever I've got, and the remainder gets bound up into some pile, and then I use my excess moving tape to kind of like wrap it around with some tape so it doesn't go flying around the neighborhood.
Right. Right. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I actually feel pretty good about that. I got I got a system here, Josh.
Right.
I can get this recycling out of here.
Right.
Okay, but these goddamn tables come in boxes with styrofoam. Styrofoam everywhere. There's so much styrofoam. What are you supposed to do with this styrofoam?
Right. Do not give it to your kids. That's like
whatever you do.
Rule number one, because if you have like 8 pieces of styrofoam,
yeah,
and then you give it to a kid, 100. Now you have like packing peanuts.
Yeah. So, what I end up doing is stacking it all up in my garage, and then I take a garbage bag and I like stuff it full as much as I can, and then they just go in the garbage as much as I can every week.
Yeah. Right. You're like on trash day, you're like, okay, how much of these stupid styrofoam bags can I fit in here before I take it out to the curb?
Yeah. So I have like metal shelving units in my garage that are full of maybe like tools or kids' toys, whatever else. And then on top of it is this like,
right, like your backlog.
100 garbage bags full of styrofoam. I hate it so much.
So we live in Columbus proper. So this is a city. Mm-hmm. I do have some thoughts about all of this trash pickup. First of all, I live in a pretty old neighborhood with alleys. And that's where all of the garbage stuff lives, which actually makes it super convenient for when like you've got a heavy recycling week. Most of your neighbors don't. So there's just a little sneaking, and people do that to ours too. Whatever, you know,
sure.
you scratch my recycling, I'll scratch yours. But the other thing that sometimes we do is we do alley pickup stuff. So we'll put like big items. Like I don't have a tube TV, but if I had a tube TV, I'd put it back there.
Yep.
And then you make a post somewhere like alley pickup, whatever. And that thing is gone. You know, people are always looking
for not take long.
Junk and, you know, anything metal, wood. If you got like landscaping junk. You know, we pulled up some bricks that were in our yard and we put them back there and they're gone. So that's all nice. I love having an alley, actually. I think it's great for that kind of stuff. Our city, though, only picks up recycling once every 2 weeks.
Yes, I know that's a pain.
It's not good because we never fill up our trash. The trash bins are enormous. They never get full. And the recycling, we're always like, you know, I'm out there like using one foot trying to like mash it down and like I better not find any extra air pockets in there, you know, I'm trying to fill every last. Ugh. Yeah.
Josh, have you ever had the experience of that recycling thing is full? You're pushing it down. You're trying to get as much in there as you can. You finally get everything in there. Call it a night. Go back inside. Go to bed. Next day, recycling, you can hear the truck coming by. They take your recycling. You're like, oh, I'm going to feel so cleansed. There'll be a weight lifted off my shoulders when I go see that recycling bin empty. You go out there, you open up the lid, and like half of it is still in there because of how hard you pushed it down. when it went up over the side, not all of it went in, and then you're just furious.
I have had the issue where I go out there and I open it up, it's still full because like the lid was partially open and they're like picky. So like too full. Skip that one.
Oh my god.
Which is like which is actually makes the problem worse, right?
Right.
Like how is this
well,
helping
I guess I'm
anything?
Throw all this stuff away in the garbage.
Right. So anyway. Yeah, it's recycling is a mess. It's really something.
Because I mean, the other aspect of this that we could get into is the fact that all of your recycling is just going in the garbage anyway.
Yeah, it's. Whew, I get a little stressed out when I think about some of the. Yeah. So recently, I watched. So Justin Searles, who's a programmer who happens to live here in Columbus, he lived in Japan for a while.
And he
was posting about what it's like to recycle in a small town in Japan. And the amount of like municipal support that you get in Japan for recycling, it boggles the mind. Like there was all this stuff about the instructions for breaking, how to break down a box and bind it. Right, you're essentially doing, you're breaking down the box and you're binding it with like those like plastic strips, like that kind
twine.
Of, yeah, that plastic twine that like kind of snaps together. Like people do that from their, they do that in their houses before they ever take it out for recycling. Like that is, that's a level of commitment to recycling that I, that'll never happen in the States. I, not,
you just never see it here.
No, no, man.
I see no one else has added any cards to the board, so it's possible we're kind of winding down here. Any other thoughts about your retro? How'd your week go?
Is this how you end your retros? I see no one else is writing.
It's like a little passive aggressive.
I see no one else is writing anything. I'm going to take that as a sign that everything's doing going really, really well, and enjoy the cake. Mark turned 40 today, so enjoy Mark's cake. Yeah.
You really get me.
Remember office cake? I don't know if something. I don't know if that's something I'm looking forward to or not.
It's something I remember.
I remember that it's a thing. People really roll the dice, though. Like, there's some grocery store cake you can come in with. And you're like, you shouldn't have even bothered, man. This is
right. Right.
This is not.
It's like, well, I don't know what anyone really likes, so I'm going to get something no one likes.
Rainbow coconut.
Yeah, what is this? Like, what's happening? Well, I had to have enough for everybody. I don't know. Just buy like a bunch of brownies and a tub of ice cream and like a chocolate cake or something. That's what people want.
Why did you get the 5-quart of ice cream? It's never good.
Yeah, that too. Like the Blue Bunny stuff?
Anything. If it's coming in a 5-quart, you know it's going to be bad news.
Yeah. Just take that money and buy as much Häagen-Dazs as you can,
that's
and I'll
right.
be fine.
That's right. Ben and Jerry's, anything local. Yeah. But if it has a handle, you failed.
No, yeah. You don't want your ice cream container to have a handle.
Right.
That's too much. We only have 9 minutes left. So this topic could be too big for how much time we have.
Well,
left.
I will have follow up if it is. I want to. You've piqued my interest just by starting it out like that.
Yes. So, video games and our children. We have a Nintendo Switch, and we have, I think, a PlayStation 3 that is mostly playing PlayStation 2 games.
Right. Right.
It's really just a vehicle for us to play like Lego games with Jack. Lego Star Wars, Lego Batman, whatever.
Right.
But the Switch, like, he's figured out that he can go to the Switch store and see games that he may be interested in playing or whatever. And then if he goes to the preview, he can like sometimes get an actual like video
demo
preview.
Basically
a commercial for that game.
Yep.
So he found a game that he was interested in. There's a kids show called Ben 10, and they have made a video game with this property.
Okay.
I watched him watch that essentially commercial for probably 35 to 40 minutes.
Okay.
Just over and over and over. The same approximately 60-second spot.
Right.
You know, he watched it 40 times.
Right.
And began singing along with it at certain points.
Oh, boy.
And then he'd every so often... You know, kind of call over, Dad, this game looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Dad, do you think we have the money to buy this game?
Right.
Like, right. Like he thinks it's like a funds problem.
Right. Exactly.
like we're not funded for it.
Right. Oh, I get that with my son all the time where he's like, I'll pay for it. He like wants to rent a movie. And I'm like, we're not going to watch that. And he's like, I'll pay for it. I've got the, no, I don't think you're hearing me.
Yeah. So anyway, this prompted me to check in and see how do the Davies handle video games? And
oh, geez, you know. We're starting to get into what feels like I can't hold back the floodgates much longer a little bit because my son's 9.
Yeah.
What we have though at our house, our newest system is Nintendo Wii. So. Okay. We're not up to date.
There's no Fortnite.
No. No, we're still staving that off. Weirdly, Oliver knows Fortnite dances because all of his friends know them. But like, he's not playing it. But we do have a retro gaming, I have a retro Pi that I put together a few years ago, and so sometimes we'll play like Super Nintendo games. But we don't play a ton of video games. Most of our Wii games are very scratched up, thanks to my now 3-year-old, back then 1-ish-year-old, that found all the discs and like thought they'd be fun as stepping stones or something.
Sure.
But yeah, we've been lucky enough. I personally do want to get a Switch. But I think that it would become a power struggle that we haven't experienced yet. So I'm mostly holding it off. We don't have an iPad that works anymore. Okay. And our phones are very much our own. And Oliver doesn't have a phone yet. So there is no device for him to like play video games. He asks me all the time to play video games, even like the old Super Nintendo ones. So that's how we handle it, is like we just keep avoiding it and trying to not have it be a thing that we have to deal with. COVID's actually helped because he's not talking to other kids that are playing video games in the same way, you know? So
yeah. He's not feeling like he's missing out because he's missing out on like all forms of human interaction.
Right. His thing has become like watching, like there's certain shows and movies that we watch and he watches them. When a lot of other people would be doing other kinds of screen time. So,
yep. Oh boy.
Anyway, but I want to follow up this with next week, because I think video games are a very interesting topic and it's a big part of like parenting now.
Yeah.
Is how do you handle it? So.
All right, sir. I need to run.
Yep. Me too. All right.
Okay. Love you too.
Love you. Bye bye.